If we can turn together to Ruth chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. The book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I want to speak to us this morning about God's field of purpose. God's field of purpose. And so my subject that I want to speak about concerns the field of God's purpose. At the very outset, let me say that the field of God's purpose is in this earth. It is my belief that this earth is the place that God has chosen to work out his purpose. In the story of Boaz and Ruth, it was Boaz who instructed the young men working in his fields, who were gathering in the wheat harvest, to drop some of the harvest so that Ruth would be able to gather it up. And the reason I say about this earth being God's field of purpose is because I believe that God has laid on this earth handfuls of purpose. The handfuls of purpose are people. And so God has left on this earth people who are to be involved in his divine purposes and the projects that he has in view. This is a perfect picture of God having handfuls of purpose scattered throughout the earth, ready to be gleaned by the Lord Jesus Christ. People are included in God's purpose, and the aim and intention is to gather them and to give them salvation. We all know that scientists and astronomers are constantly looking for life on other planets in the universe. But to date, they have been totally unsuccessful. They spent trillions of pounds on trying to discover where there is life on other planets. And up to date, they have been unfruitful. And where I believe that God created the universe and the beings that inhabit it. And the Bible tells us that this is the only planet that God has visited. Because it tells us in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, that the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so this earth is the only place where God visited by his Spirit. And what he did was that he created Adam, who bore his image. But this image was marred by disobedience. And sin entered into man's nature. And the whole of mankind is affected by this sin. Jesus came to seek and to save humanity. That's why Jesus came. And upon this earth, there are handfuls of purposed people. And some of those handfuls of purposed people are here in this service this morning. And I want to tell you that it's wonderful how God came to this earth and planted himself here in his purpose so that he could accomplish something which is remarkable. And I want to say this morning that God, first of all, has purposed that you should be saved. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, it brought a separation. And in order for that separation to be healed, it is necessary for there to be salvation. It is necessary for people to be saved. And so my first point is that God has purposed that you should be saved. Amen. Let that sink into your heart and mind this morning. God has purposed that you should be saved. Amen. Now that should excite you. And if you are not saved, it should inspire you to want to be saved. Because God has purposed that you as an individual should be saved. Now, when the Apostle Paul and Silas visited a place called Philippi, you read a story in the book of Acts chapter 16, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there was a young woman who was saved. She gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this young woman who responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ was a young woman who had been abused and used by men of ill repute who acted negatively to the change that came over her life. And because of they were men of influence, even though they were men of ill repute, they were men of influence, and they persuaded the authorities to put Paul and Silas in prison because the conversion of this young lady who was saved stripped them of their finance. And because it stripped them of their finance, they went to the authorities and put Paul and Silas in prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were not down in the doldrums because of the situation they found themselves in. And so they began to sing praises to God. And as they began to sing praises to God and to worship the Lord responded and the earth responded. There was an earthquake. The prison doors fell off their hinges. And the prison jailer would have killed himself, and he thought about doing it, but Paul said, "Don't do yourself any harm, we are all here." And this man had obviously listened to what Paul and Silas had been saying, and this is what he said. He said, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And so here we find a man who was one of these handfuls of purpose that were reaped on the earth, and he was saved. His whole family was saved, and not only his whole family, but they were also baptized. And that was wonderful what happened to them. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And God has purposed that you in this service this morning, that you should be saved. He doesn't want you to be lost. And out of all the places that God could have visited on this planet and this universe, he has this place of this earth that is special in his heart, because there are people here who are his handfuls of purpose that he wants to save. And this morning, God has purposed that you as an individual should be saved. You have a place in his heart. You are special. The only problem is that sin in your nature has caused a rift between you and God. But how wonderful it is that even though God has purposed that you should be saved, not only that, but secondly, God has provided the means for you to be saved. Not only has he purposed that you should be saved, but also he has provided the means for you to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? When we lived in Swansea, we could see the mumbles from our Julie's bedroom and the seacoast and the mumbles lighthouse. And just right a little distance away from the lighthouse was the Swansea lifeboat. And there was the lifeboat house. And when anyone was in trouble, the lifeboat went out and saved them. And the lifeboat was provided as a means to save people. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus has been sent by God as the means to save you and to save you forever and forever. Yeah. Now, when there's a rift between two parties, steps need to be taken to bring about a reconciliation. As a result of man's sin, there was a big rift caused between man and God. And it wasn't God who caused the rift, it was man. Because when you read in the book of Genesis about when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they went and hid themselves from God. The Bible doesn't tell us that God hid himself from them. It tells us that they hid themselves from God. Because God came down to talk with them, to commune with them, to have fellowship with them. And God said, "Where are you? Where are you?" And they had hidden themselves. So the rift wasn't caused by God, it was caused by them. They were the ones who went away from God. And so Jesus Christ has come to bring us back to God. And so reconciliation brings two parties together so there is peace and unity. The rift between man and God was not caused by God, it was caused by man. However, there has to be a mediator to effect a reconciliation. But man could not mediate, so God provided a mediator. God provided someone who would bridge the gap. Yeah. Now, if you are traveling on the London Underground and you pull into one of the stations, it will tell you, "Mind the gap. Mind the gap." But I want to tell you, mind the gap this morning, because God has filled the gap. God has filled it with the Lord Jesus Christ and wants you to be reconciled to him through the Lord Jesus. Now, there is a doctrine known, and it is one of our church tenets, called the utter depravity of human nature. And what that means is this. It means that mankind is incapable of saving himself. That mankind is not in a position where he can reconcile himself to God. He needs a savior. He needs a mediator. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus went to the cross, then one of his hands was touching God and the other hand was touching humanity. And he wants to bring them both together. And so God took the initiative and in Jesus Christ provided one to bring about reconciliation. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his letter to one of the churches called Colossae, this is what he said in wonderful words in chapter 1 and verse 20 and 22. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, that he might present you holy and unapproachable and unreprovable in his sight." So God in Christ has made it possible for you to be reconciled. And so on this earth, God has purposed that you should be saved. But not only has he purposed that you should be saved, but he has provided the means whereby you can be saved. And that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has made a way for man to be saved. The words of the gospel song say this: "There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is opened that you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus." And you can come this morning Because God in Christ has made it possible for you as an individual to be saved. And to be saved is a wonderful experience. The experience I had at 9 years of age, I will never forget. Because I went to a little chapel. It was in a still small street. It was there that I found Jesus. And I knelt down at his feet. There I gave my heart right to him. And my burdens rolled away. Yeah. I went out of that church different than the way that I went in. And I remember coming out of that little church in Dunrobin Street in Longton. It's still there today. The church is still there. My niece's husband was the pastor there until he died a few years ago. And that little chapel is still there in Dunrobin Street. And I'll never forget that moment. I walked out of that church as light as a feather. Just felt as if a great big weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And I felt as if I was walking on air. And I tell you this morning that Jesus is the Savior. And he wants to save you. And he wants to give you the same kind of experience where the burden of sin is lifted from your shoulder and you're reconciled to God and you have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is a way back to God. Don't think that you've gone too far into sin for God to save you. Doesn't matter how far into sin you have gone, he can save you because he can save you to the uttermost. He can save you even this morning. Yes. And so God has purposed that you should be saved. Not only has he purposed that you should be saved, but he's provided the means for you to be saved. Yeah. And that's wonderful and remarkable. Thirdly, God has not only purposed you to be saved, he hasn't only provided the means for you to be saved, but God has placed you in a position where you can be saved. God has placed you in a position where you can be saved. You are at this moment in a very, very favorable position. At this moment, you are living in a time of God's favor. And this earth at this present time is living in a time of God's favor. You are in a unique position. The privilege you have today is that you are in a position where you can do one of two things. Firstly, you're in a position where you can accept by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you're in a position to reject him. To accept him is to choose life. To reject him is to choose the way of ultimate separation from God eternally. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so you have a choice this morning. You are in a unique position because you are living in the time of God's favor. And to be living in the time of God's favor is the most wonderful thing in this world. Yeah. But you have a choice to make. And the choice that you have to make is this: you either accept him or you reject him. Make sure you make the right decision. And that decision is to accept Jesus Christ as your own personal savior. When the Apostle Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, he was arrested and finally he was imprisoned. And then he was under house arrest, and then he had to appear before different people. And one of the people that he appeared before was a man by the name of Felix. And this is what he said. He said, as he was talking to Felix, he reasoned about righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. And Felix, having listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, trembled. And as he trembled, he turned to Paul and he looked him straight in the face and looked him straight in the eye and he said, go away at this point. I'll call for you at a more convenient time. Dear ones, this morning, procrastination is the enemy of life. Don't put off today till tomorrow what you can do today. Don't put it off. You know that little coast that you can get sometimes? I'll get around to it. It's printed on a little coaster. They used to make them in the potteries. Printed on it, I'll get around to it. Well, this morning, don't put it off. Procrastination is putting off what you need to do today. And today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, it's today. Because we are living in the time of God's favor. And God has favored you because he has positioned you in this service this morning where you can respond and receive Jesus as your own personal savior. In Luke chapter 19, it tells us about a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. We all know his story, most of us who are familiar with the Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it tells us in the gospel that there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was of smaller stature, and he was either a dwarf or a midget, we're not quite sure. But he wanted to see Jesus, and so he positioned himself to see him. But as he positioned himself, he realized that he wasn't tall enough to look over the people. He was a tax collector, and so he decided to do something which was out of character. He climbed up into a tree, positioned himself into the tree. And when Jesus came past where he was, Jesus stood and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, he said, come down because I'm coming to your house. And when Jesus went into the house of Zacchaeus, Jesus said this, he says, now is salvation come to this house. Yeah. Zacchaeus was saved there and then. Zacchaeus was in the right position. You see, God purposed and God placed him in a position where he could be saved. There's another incident too, as we read of in the scripture. There was a particular woman who was at a well. And as Jesus came to this well, she asked Jesus, Jesus asked her for a drink. And the woman said, how is it that you, a Jew, asking of me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink? Because Jews have no dealings with us. But she was positioned in the right place at the right time. Yeah. She was living in the time of God's favor. She was in the right position for God to meet her need. And Jesus spoke to her, and Jesus dealt with the problem she had in her life, the sin problem she had. And she went back to where she came from, and she said, come and see a man. He's told me everything that ever I've done. Isn't this the Christ? Mm-hmm. She got saved that day. Because she was in the right position for that moment. And I want to tell you this morning, you are living in the time of God's favor. You are in a position here this morning in this service. And God wants to save you. God wants you to accept him into your life. God wants you to know the peace that passes all understanding. And some of the most wonderful things happen to people who are positioned right for God to deal with them. I may have told you this story before, but it's worth repeating again. When I worked in the pottery industry as a china polisher, one of the men who worked alongside me was a man by the name of Albert Collier. He was the brother-in-law of my brother, and Albert was known for his violence, and I remember once having his arm in plaster where he had been violent and put his fist through a door. He was such a violent man, and he knew what I stood for. He knew everything I believed in, and he knew what my brother believed in. And in one night, him and his wife were lying in bed together, and they were talking about God. And Albert said to Joyce, he said, if there is a God, wouldn't you think that he'd show himself to us? He was such a doubter, wouldn't accept anything you said to him. But that night he said, if there is a God, don't you think that he'd show himself to you? And at that moment, his wife put her arm across Albert. He said, "Albert, Jesus is at the door." And you know, Albert got out of bed. He went to the door, and he opened the door, and he said, "Jesus, come in." And him and his wife were saved at that moment. He came to work next morning. There were tears streaming down his cheeks, and he was shaking like this. And he said to me, "Something happened to me last night." And he told me exactly what had transpired. See, him and his wife were in a position. Favoured position. At that moment, Jesus came and saved them both. Because of his violence and his temper, none of the family members were speaking to Albert. His mother wasn't talking to him. His sisters weren't talking to him. His brothers weren't talking to him. His in-laws weren't talking to him. Nobody talked to him because he was so violent and aggressive and abusive. And he said to me that day, after shaking like this and talking to me about what had happened in the night, because I knew he'd had a real conversion experience, he said, "What can I do?" He said, "None of my family members talk to me because of my violence." I said, "Well, Albert, the best thing that you can do is go to every one of them and apologize and tell them what's happened." He didn't go home from work that night. He went around his mother's, his brother's, his sister, and he told them exactly what had happened. And before you knew where you were, his brother Ron came to church, got saved. His brother Jared came to church, got saved. His wife Jean got saved. Dorothy got saved. The whole family was affected and touched because he was in a position of being favored by God. God favored him and his wife that night and totally transformed them. I had the privilege of speaking at his funeral just 2 years ago. And Albert had always said, "When I die, I want you to say something at my funeral." And I went to the Potteries and spoke at Albert's funeral. A man whose life was touched and transformed because he was in a position, in a position where God favored him and where he could be saved. And I could tell you story after story of individual people that we have met through our ministry who have been in positions where God has favored them and they've been saved. I think at this moment of a young man by the name of Stephen. Came from, I don't suppose you can pronounce this place, it's called Ystrad Mynach in South Wales. And Stephen spent his money on gambling and beer and different other things, and was involved in many, many other things, spiritism and different things. But he got saved because God favoured his life. God favoured him, and so he gave his life to Jesus. And afterwards, he stood up in church and he said, "I want you to come to my house," he said, "and I want to show you how God has turned beer into furniture." Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful what God can do. His precious word is ever true. And I don't want you to go away from this service this morning not having had the opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, where you can be saved. So God has upon this earth handfuls of purpose, and you are one of them. And God has purposed that you should be saved. Not only has he purposed that you should be saved, but he has also made it possible by sending Jesus for you to be saved. And not only that, but he has placed you in a position where you can be saved. And you know something? That's why you're here this morning. That's why you are here in this service this morning, because God has positioned you in a place where you can be saved. So heed his invitation, accept him as your Saviour, and you will never ever regret it. Let us pray. We just want to say thank you again, Lord, this morning, for your goodness and